You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins. Roll call.
Chris Gilpin.
And Martin Bruda. It occurs to me listening to that intro that when I say, "Who's Martin Bruda?" I sound like a Muppet.
Okay.
Like a.
Hey ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey Bert. Rubber Ducky, you're the one.
We were talking about celebrity impressions before the show, so those are my three. Well, I got another
that's
one.
That's as close as we can get to celebrity impressions.
That's right.
I can't even do an impression of a guy who talks about comics.
There you go. Yes, comic books.
Yes, what are we talking about today?
I don't know.
I feel weird because I'm in the middle and it's freaking me out.
Yeah, everything's all messed up.
Yep. Yeah, we played musical chairs here, so now Chris is in the hot seat.
That's right.
He's in the chair of rant.
That's right.
So he's got a rant.
Rant.
I'll start him off. Brian Bendis.
Oh, boy. Don't even.
Grant Morrison.
I could start you with some.
You don't like Grant Morrison?
No, I like Grant. He doesn't like Grant Morrison.
You don't like Grant Morrison?
I like Grant Morrison fine. I just think he's on coke every time he writes a book.
Okay.
He's
me
fine.
Too. But
I don't mind him at all. He's fine.
Yeah.
So that's been our show. Thank you.
Thank you. Later. Yeah, we're done.
So I learned at least one important rule today about comic book hunting.
Oh, what is the important rule about comic book hunting?
Make sure you have gas in your gas tank. It was on my mind to fill up coming out of Belleville, and I got distracted. I don't know. I hit Warkworth, and the light comes on. And, you know, just for the record, there's no gas stations in Warkworth.
No,
none.
There's cheese.
Yeah, but there's no gas stations. So instead of going north, I'm going east to Campbellford praying. Come on.
Can you buy cheese? Because didn't they close the cheese factory and that's where that one little flea market is now?
Well, I think there's other places you can buy cheese in Warkworth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm sure somebody from Warkworth is going to send in an angry email. Our address is 123 Main Street, Peterborough, Ontario.
Oddly enough, my GPS goes, there's gas available, fuel available at this convenience store. This convenience store is on Main Street with other stores beside it. There's no gas pumps outside this place. Mm. I don't know. And I got schooled on the way home. I stopped. I don't know if you remember, there was one of our trips, we passed this antique store in the middle of nowhere. It's like halfway between Belleville and Warkworth. It's one of the back roads. I can't even remember the name of it. Anyway, so I decided to stop in there. Why not?
Sure.
Walk in, I'm looking around. It's pure antiques. There's no comics. And I said, I noticed a place up the street. I said, what's the name of your little town? He goes, well, actually, it's a hamlet. It goes town, village, and then hamlet.
Yes. As somebody from the hamlet of Ennismore, I am well aware of this.
As this had two houses and this antique place. I don't even know if Hamlet, but he schooled me good on that one.
There's actually population numbers, too. Like, you know, you got to have, like, two cows and, you know, your brother Jim has to own the other house, and then it's a hamlet. And
I was almost doing the Martin Bruda eye twitch when he said that. I was like, okay, thanks.
But no comics. He didn't have any comics. Oh, there you go.
And it was shortly after that my gaslight came on. It's like, oh, boy.
There you go.
He was like, that guy doesn't know the difference between a hamlet and town. I'm going to siphon out his gas.
That's right.
Teach that stranger a lesson.
That's why I kept...
We don't like strangers here in hamlets.
Bessie the cow was siphoning my gas.
There you go. Well, I drove in the opposite direction.
You did, yes.
Went to downtown Toronto, well, Etobicoke.
Yeah.
My daughter is going to school there, so we had to sign a lease and stuff. So I stopped at that Pendragon Comics that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Interesting store.
Yeah. Been a while since I've been there.
It's, I got mixed feelings as far as it being a destination store. I don't think you'd want to drive all the way to Peterborough. All the way from Peterborough to Toronto specifically for that shop.
Yeah.
If you put it on like a route of stores, maybe, but not specifically just that store. However, if that store was located in Peterborough, I'd be there like all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he had a lot of high grade bronze and silver age books. Really, like, I mean, they were priced high in my opinion, but they were nice.
Yeah.
I really didn't like the fact that he had like an American price sticker and then a Canadian price sticker on it.
Yeah.
It's like, really, dude? Yeah.
I spotted him at Toronto Comic Con.
Yeah.
He had a small, tiny little corner and he had the same. Yeah. I noticed those stickers on there.
And he's got a whole bunch of racks. Like it's almost like he's got two gaming tables. And the underneath the gaming tables is racks of comics, like drawers. And then on top of the gaming tables are long boxes that you can peruse.
Yeah.
Every single drawer says, don't touch, do not open, store stock. And I'm like, you can't do that. Isn't that guy from the Dixie Outlet Mall does the same thing? He's got all these long boxes with lids on them. He's like, no, you can't dig through those. I'm like, well, dude, if you don't have the time and effort to accurately price your, because that's what it is, right? They're not priced.
Yeah, yeah.
According to what it's recently priced. So he might have a New Mutants 98 in there hiding for a buck. And I'm like, oh, come on. You're doing nothing behind the counter. There's nobody here. Do some work.
Yeah. On our road trip to Niagara Falls, the U.S. and all that, when we stopped at St. Catharines, wandering around and almost in the middle of nowhere, like there was a couple booths around it with a few dollar books. There was one booth and half full of long boxes. And I went into it and I'm starting looking and I'm going to, I said to Christine, this kind of feels more like a storage than a booth, right? And she goes, yeah, I think so. So I only looked through the first couple top ones, but they were like, I don't know, 20 long boxes. It's like, please,
yeah, exactly.
Let me look.
Now, the other thing that drove me nuts is he had a nice section of sort of under 30 books.
Yeah.
Under 30 bucks. Not in alphabetical order. Not in numerical order. I managed to get through halfway through one long box before the OCD was just like, and I actually started putting them in order.
Yeah.
And then he's looking at me behind the counter, and I'm like, oh, sorry, they're out of alphabetical order. I'm sorry. I just left the store. I didn't buy anything.
Yeah, definitely out of alphabetical order.
There was much shame. It was hilarious.
Sorry, that was my attempt at Dustin Hoffman
there
from Rain
Man.
Yeah, definitely out of alphabetical order.
$1.29. How about you, Dan? You don't go comic hunting so much as I understand. You're creating comics now. What's that all about?
Well, but I did go comic hunting, though.
What?
You're going to skip over my story.
No. Talk.
I drove my wife and children to my mother-in-law's house.
Yes.
And
did you leave them there?
I did. Near London-ish.
Which is near London, far enough this side of London that I couldn't make the trip into London.
Yeah.
But on the way back, I hit a couple of stores. There was this one flea market called the Pink Elephant in the middle of nowhere. And that was full of 50-cent comic books being sold for $4.
Yeah.
So I spent way too much time looking through there, hoping that there was one of those $4 comic books that was worth $20, but I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
And then I hit Big B in Hamilton.
Oh.
And so I walk in, and this was my first time at Big B.
Oh, excellent.
So, yeah, like you guys are always talking about Big B, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go. And it's so easy to find and stuff. I was like, it was ridiculous. I hate going to new places because I'm like the guy that needs to know exactly how to get there, which lane I have to be in, which lane I need to pull out in. I'm just like, ah, but it was ridiculously easy. Got there, walked through the doors, took a quick look at the counter, and then saw slabs on the wall. And I just walked straight to the back of the store. My gaze fell upon Strange Tales 135, first appearance of Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
And I went, that one.
Excellent.
So I did look around and bought a few other small things. But yeah, like normally I'm the guy that doesn't pull the trigger on the big deal. But I was like, you know what? I've been this is in my searches on eBay. I'm constantly looking for one at a good price. Here was a slab, 4.5. Cost me $135, which isn't bad.
No.
And yeah, so I just, I felt like a pretty cool guy just going like, I'll take that one. The funny thing is it was on the top row and the girl behind the counter had to get a stepladder out. And then she had to take down the long boxes that were in front because she still couldn't reach it. So it became like a 10-minute ordeal. Well, I'm like, I'm sorry. I just really want that comic.
I changed my mind.
No, I wasn't going to change my mind.
So you missed the basement.
I went to the basement.
Oh, you did go to the basement.
Yeah, okay. I went to the basement after I had already decided. See, it's no fun going to the basement knowing you're already going to spend $150.
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, I found 45 $2 comics. No, I shouldn't buy those. I'm already spending enough.
Yeah.
So I went to the basement. I searched through, found tons and tons of stuff I wanted, and then ended up buying like three $2 books. I got a cup two of the second appearance of Spider-Woman in cameo,
yeah.
Marvel 2-in-1 number 29.
Nice.
For $2 each.
There you go.
We gotta put a pin in that because I gotta ask a question, but I don't want to interrupt you. So
okay,
go ahead.
Well, so
no,
talk about being
he's
in.
He's not
of,
done.
And how
done?
Are you?
But
with
you
it?
Just said put a pin in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. As in no, like
we're gonna come back to
cameo.
We're gonna come back.
Okay.
To cameo.
So go back to
that.
Your story.
All right.
So my attempt not to interrupt
has failed miserably.
Backfired. All right,
let's get back.
I've been
track.
So interrupted.
How did you feel about the alphabetical but not alphabetical? Because that drives me nuts. In the basement.
In the basement?
So all the A's are together.
Yeah.
But they're not in the order from that.
That doesn't bother me for a discount bin.
No, I guess not.
But when you're looking at a $30 comic
book. Put it in order.
You know? And he's got like four long boxes, five long boxes. Down in the basement, there's what? 100 long boxes?
100,
yeah.
Yeah. I think, see, there's something about having them not in strict order that is appealing. Because like, maybe this next section is going to have that thing that I really want.
I guess if you're browsing for whatever, you know, surprises, it's good.
Yeah, because
me on my list, I need this. Okay, it's A.
Yes.
It's not. No, wait, it's over here. Ah.
Yeah, it's definitely, like you said, like a lottery kind of crapshoot where you're going down there and you're hunting.
Yeah.
Because the manager there, I know that what he does is sometimes he picks out some nicer comics and sticks them down there. So I went down there once and there was like Defenders 10 through 20 all in a pile there, and what he did was he kind of put, you know, the first five in this half of the D section, the next five in this half, and he kind of mixed it up, right?
You
hunt for it.
Yeah.
So there's usually some nice stuff in there. Like that's where I found all those Deadballs.
Yeah.
Spider-Man
and those
promotional
comics. Speaking of comics you bought for cheap and sold on eBay, I loved because they've got signs straight up in the basement. Buy them cheap, sell them on eBay.
Yeah.
We don't care.
Yeah.
You know, why buy one handful when you can buy two? Like, I was walking around laughing at all these signs.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And as I'm going through the bin, so I was there by myself. I don't get out by myself a lot.
Yeah.
I'm there by myself, and some guy comes down with his two kids.
Uh-oh.
And they're a little older than my kids. They were like maybe like 10 and 8 or 8 and 6 or something.
Yeah.
And so I've got my back to them. They're shopping. The dad's like, okay, you can buy three comics. And Jane, she's got her own money. She can buy seven because that's how much money she has.
Yeah.
And then there's rifling through. Do you like this? Do you like that? And then the kid's like, I want the one that Jane has.
Yeah, of course.
And the dad's like, there's 40,000 comics. And you want the one your sister has? Pick another comic. And I just started laughing because I was like, that's my life.
Yeah.
So,
<That's right. laughs>
but I had a great time.
Yeah.
Spent a lot of money, but had a great time.
It's a fun
for me,
store.
It's the, what is it now, $5 bin? They raise it from
up
3
front,
to 5.
Yeah,
yeah, up front.
Up
they
top.
Used to have $3 bins,
up
and
top.
They jacked up to 5.
Those bins just kill me.
I was going through those bins, but then after I was like 5, 10, 15. Yeah, I'm just going to stick with my.
It adds up quick.
Really?
Sure. But it was really nice stuff, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
But it's fun to just dig around. The other thing that I like about Big B is, you know, some of the supplies and stuff were really reasonable. Like we were getting those Mylar bags.
Yeah.
So a bag of 50 bags, $20 at Big B, $38.98 at CBA, and then at the Pendragon, I noticed they were $30.
Yeah.
For the exact same brand, same everything. So
yeah.
That's kind of neat. And the I always grab a Toon Tumbler every time I break one. I've got a set of them. So every time one breaks, I just grab another one from Big B because he has a nice selection of them and stuff. So it's a great store. I love it.
But you missed, where was the first one you went to?
The Pink Elephant.
The Pink Elephant, where was that?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
Because it was off the beaten path.
Yeah.
On the other side of Kitchener?
No, I didn't get to Kitchener this trip. I know. I went down.
Well, we got to plan a whole trip to Kitchener because
they'll be closed though.
Of that.
No,
yeah,
they're not.
Exactly.
We will call before we leave. No.
Because of that 3-story flea market that we found. There's just on the other side of what?
North.
I want to say Collingwood, but that's wrong.
No. Up the 400 or something, isn't it?
Sir, with a W?
I can't remember. I'd have to
It's
look
just
it up.
On the other side of Kitchener.
Yeah.
And it has like an old factory, 3-floor antiques flea market. Like, tell me there isn't going to be some lovely, lovely little Micronauts lying around.
Yeah. No, we need to rent like a little van or something and everybody kicks in and then we can all go to the Kitchener warehouse, the comic warehouse of love, they call it.
Yeah.
Which isn't the official name, but or the actual name, but the comic warehouse in Kitchener, yeah.
But yeah, like Dan says, we're going to have to like not trust you and we're going to have to call ahead and make sure.
It wasn't my fault. I was told they were open. Anyways.
Half of it was open.
Half of it was open.
But yeah, I spent like I went back down and spent a little bit of time with the with the mother-in-law and the wife and kids. And then the whole time I was like, on the way home, can we stop at Kitchener?
No.
10 minutes later, on the way home, can we stop in Kitchener? Because that's what we did last time we visited. We took the detour, stopped in Kitchener.
Yeah.
But having already spent so much money at Big B, I couldn't really justify it. Otherwise, I would have been like, no, we're going.
We're going.
But I'd already spent my allowance.
Or, what's that noise coming out of the engine? We should pull over and get it checked out.
We should go to Kitchener. I know it's like 4 hours the other way now, but...
We should check it out.
Yeah.
And I had also spent some money recently on a Captain Canuck page from the Archives number 2 by Mike Ruth.
That's a nice page.
So, I got that in the mail. And, man, he is such a talented artist. When you see, like, the finished page looks like you could just print that page without anything on it compared to other pages that I've gotten.
So is the page you got inked or is it just straight pencils?
I think it's just pencil. I'm not 100% positive, but...
Just grab an eraser and rub it on the page.
See what happens.
See what happens, I'll tell you. Yeah, like, I got a couple of pages from Kevin McGuire. He used to do Justice League. And just a couple of pencil pages. And his pencils, I mean, are amazing. Like you said, you could just turn up the contrast and there you go. I mean, that's probably why many inkers don't have jobs anymore.
Yeah. Because
some of these pencilers are just turning in great stuff.
Yeah.
So it looked good.
I don't have a picture. I was trying to see if I had a picture to look. But
that's one where he's going a little Franken crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I haven't read the issue yet, actually, for some reason. I don't own
it. Which one is it?
Archives number 2.
Did that one come out?
They had it at CBA, but I didn't buy it because it was supposed to be on my pull list, and I thought maybe it was one of the ones that you had picked up for me. But you don't have it, so now I have to drive to CBA to get another copy.
I'm going to have to look and see if I have it. I'm not sure.
Because I need to see the page that I own. Come on.
Because they unfortunately canceled that series.
Yeah.
The Archive,
Yeah, after number 2, right? Yeah. That's the last one.
I heard... Oh, okay. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. I picked up this random piece of paper on the ground, and that's random piece of paper that was just laying on the ground said that what they're going to do is some of those backup stories and stuff that were already done for... Because what it is, the archives were reprints of the original series and the Northgard reprints and stuff.
Yeah.
They're going to take some of that material and make like a Captain Canuck omnibus and include all of that into like a big-ass hardcover ginormous... Yeah. Omnibus. So that stuff is going to get published according to this random piece of paper that I saw on the floor that I don't know anything about.
Yeah. Well, when I was talking to my buddy Hugh Rookwood,
he
said he was doing the cover to a Captain America omnibus or.
Yeah, he did some. Something. I saw a pinup or something that he did, so I can see that pinup being turned into a cover easily.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, now you said Captain America.
Oh, Captain Canuck. Sorry. Well, Captain
Hail Hydra.
Hell Hydra.
Because you got Marvel on the brain.
That's right. No, I'm officially now a member of the Captain Canuck Reborn number 3 club.
There you go.
High five.
So that's done.
There you go. You got all the Reborns?
Yeah.
0, 1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
Excellent.
But how many number 2s do you have?
One.
Just one? I thought you had two.
I think.
Didn't you get one with your number three?
Oh, yeah. So I'm up to two now. Which is the gold one with the poly bag? Is that number one?
That's number one, yeah.
All right, so now I've got at least three of those. Two poly bagged and one not. So.
The gold one was number one?
Yeah. Gold one, yeah. The gold, and the brown one's number two.
Yeah.
You know, the poly bag gold.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and the green. You need a green number one, though.
I have a number one of some sort. I don't know which one.
There were two number ones, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why I got confused.
Well, three if you include zeros. The elusive French one that nobody has ever seen.
Yeah. I have four number zeros.
Yeah.
One has a barcode, and three of them have the...
Splatter.
He's coming thing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
But no French.
Sam's not here, so we can talk about Captain Canuck as much as we want.
That's right.
He always gets antsy when we're talking about Captain Canuck.
Yeah.
Well, I was very, very pleased to see in the October solicitations for Chapter House that the new issues of Canuck, new issues of Northgard, Die Kitty Die, they're all coming. So everything's back on track, and whatever minor hiccups they encountered are done, and the books are back. So I'm happy about that.
What number is Pitiful Human Lizard at? Because I've got six.
I think eight.
Eight? All right, man. So I might be missing a few then.
I think eight. Yeah. But it got solicited too, like I saw the cover.
Yeah.
And Captain Canuck's store at chapterhouse.ca has a summer sale. And I noticed that the latest issue of Pitiful Human Lizard that I don't have yet and the Northgard number ones are available for ordering online. So I'm assuming they're hitting the stores in less than a week. Because that's usually what happens, right? They try not to make them available online until the brick and mortar places can get them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
I did spot a Captain Canuck, the older summer special.
Yeah.
At a flea market today. They wanted like $2 or $3 for it.
Well, that's not too bad.
But they also wanted, for Batman versus Aliens 1 and 2, they wanted $35.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they key books? I don't know. Are they worth $35?
First appearance of Batman and Aliens.
That's right.
I don't think so.
When they make a Batman Aliens movie, you're going to wish you had that comic.
That's right. That's right.
For the 10 minutes that the speculation runs rampant.
Yes. Oh, man.
So, Rant Boy.
Yes.
Since you're in the chair of Rant.
Yes.
And you wanted to talk about this.
The Punisher.
The Punisher.
Yeah.
The Punisher.
The article was by like a one-off blogger type thing, right? That's kind of the, like, it's not a big, what was it called, panels.com or something?
Yeah, it's just a blogger type thing. It's not it's not like she writes for the Wall Street Journal. Yeah. But who knows, maybe her day job is.
Maybe.
I don't know. But so anyways.
According to her, if Marvel stops publishing Punisher, America will be okay.
Yeah,
people stop shooting at each other.
She thinks that it's time that Marvel retires Punisher because she's worried that law enforcement officers consider Punisher a positive role model, and that's why they're gunning down people.
Yes.
So if we stop publishing Punisher,
it'll all get better.
Everybody will hold hands, sing kumbaya, and the world will be a better place.
Yeah.
Horse buckies. Excuse me.
Because when we were young,
something's choking me here.
You know, it was heavy metal and Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, come on! Like I said on Facebook, I am a prime example of this argument falling apart. Okay, I was a knife collecting nut as a kid who played with firecrackers. I joined the Air Cadets, which is a paramilitary version of Boy Scouts run by the Canadian Air Forces and the Air Cadet League of Canada. We were taught to shoot. We were taught to, you know, march and all this sort of stuff. I played Doom till my eyes went blurry, you know, running around, shooting people. And I played violent video games. I like watching the Punisher movies. I like watching Outland, where everybody gets shot. I like cowboys and westerns. If the gun laws were a little lax, I'd probably have a little bit of a collection of historical handguns and stuff. And I have never once shot a person. I've never pointed a weapon at a person.
No.
You know, it's nonsense that violent movies make things like Columbine happen.
Yeah.
Or violent video games cause all this stuff. And... Yeah. Like, come on, it's such a small percentage. I'm not saying that somebody might not get influenced by that.
Yeah.
But that person that gets influenced by that already has a ginormous encyclopedia of problems before he gets there.
Yeah.
That's
right. That's right. Yeah. There's always underlying issues.
You know, maybe mommy didn't love him. Maybe if mommy breastfed him in public, he wouldn't have shot somebody, let alone doom causing the problem.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, you can't even... It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So, just so you know, we're not being sarcastic in any way. This is from her article. So, quote, "So here's what I'm suggesting, Marvel. No more Punisher comics for a while. No Netflix show. Sorry, John," in reference to John...
Barenthal.
Thank you. "No movies. Definitely no toys. Put the character on hiatus while we try to bring the nation back to some semblance of sanity, until we never have to respond to someone mentioning a recent shooting with which one. Then maybe we can bring Frank back. In the meantime, I say the fewer bullets flying, the better, even the fictional ones."
Now,
so that's right out of the article.
Like I said, an argument could be made that a Punisher comic book or a Punisher movie or a Punisher TV show could be the straw that broke the camel's back. But to blame that one straw is, again, like, there's so many, you know, sociologists can go on and on and on and on. And this is a show about comics, not about, you know, stuff like that. So they can go on and on about the things that are wrong with, you know, inner city youth problems and inequality as far as education goes and all this other stuff that causes this kind of stuff. Yeah. Disenfranchisement. I mean, you take a look at the Columbine shooting. They were two well-off white kids.
Yeah.
You know, who I don't know, maybe their dad beat them or they had bully problems. Bullies, yeah. Or, yeah. You know, whatever the case may be. Now, I was bullied in grade 8, too, quite severely. Again, I've not shot anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've not even thought about shooting anybody. I don't even write poems about, "I wish this person was dead." You know, like, give me a break.
Yeah.
It's just, it's just such a minor, in my opinion, a teeny tiny little catalyst to a much larger problem with more catalysts, you know? It's not like this is the silver bullet. We stop making Publisher, everybody's going to be happy, nobody's going to shoot anybody, there's not going to be any police shootings, there's not going to be any snipers on roofs, everything will be awesome.
Yeah, and I mean, this would get me probably shot in the U.S., but... You know, it has nothing to do with the fact that kids can go down to their basement and open a door to a room full of guns either.
Yeah, but even still, even then, I mean,
there's always something, but...
Even then, like, the gun debate is another issue
altogether.
Yeah,
that's a whole political mess. But.
Like I said, I don't have any guns, and if the rules were different, I might. I used to own a handgun.
Yeah.
I turned it into the police because I didn't need it anymore. It was an old British officer's World War II pistol. Before anyone thinks that I was walking around with a Tech 9 or something fancy, this was like an old school revolver that you see in World War II movies.
Yeah.
I shot it 3 times, you know, at a gun range, at a cadet gun range.
Yeah.
It got to the point where I was like, I don't need this anymore, so I turned it in. But
Definitely not a solution to ban Frank Castle.
You know, I mean, didn't they say the same thing when? Well, I'm going to date myself here a little bit. But when Charles Bronson was in those movies,
Death Wish
movies.
Who's Charles Bronson?
Exactly. You know,
everybody go out and watch Death Wish 3 because it is awesome.
Is that one of the bad ones?
That's one of the most awesome ones.
Oh, okay. Because for a little while there, they were made by like some weird company, the same company that did some strange movies like Invasion USA.
My buddies and I watched that thing over and over again. There's some one-liners in that.
And have you shot anybody?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
You play video games?
Yes.
Okay. Dungeons and Dragons. You're a satanic Dungeons and Dragons player?
I wouldn't say heavy metal music, but pretty heavy.
Were you a member of the Knights and Satan service?
Yes.
Kiss?
Yes. No. Kiss Army rules.
Oh, my gosh. Have you listened to a Kiss song lately? It's like bubble pop.
Yeah.
The people were worried about this?
Yeah.
My children just watched Scooby-Doo and Kiss.
Oh, nice.
They have a movie together.
Nice.
Excellent. Awesome. Anyways.
Awesome.
I don't think that banning, although I don't think it would hurt anything, it's just like gun control in Canada. You know, the fact that we can't have an AR-15 under our bed I don't think anybody's suffering because we're not allowed to. You can buy a different hunting rifle that's better equipped for shooting deer.
Yeah.
So, but it, I don't think it solves anything.
No.
Like, do we have do we have less police shootings and less gun violence in Canada because like you're not allowed to buy an AR-15?
6 months from now, you're not going to see on CNN, well, Marvel stopped producing Punisher comics 4 months ago and everything's great.
Everything's wonderful. Police now carry batons of flowers.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, give me a break. Anyways.
Speaking of Kiss, let's get off. Did you hear that they're putting out a new comic?
No.
We're going to have lots of news next week because the comic, San Diego Comic.
Yeah, exactly. But, who's making the comic? What company?
It was...
Because didn't IDW do something?
Yeah, Dynamic. Or Dynamite, sorry.
Dynamite
Entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to remember which DJ it was and the Wolf was talking about it, and I can't remember. Sorry.
No problem.
But he was talking like... It didn't even sound like it was them. It was like four kids go off and find an alien, and like I'm like, oh, okay. I'm trying to find a brief description of it, but yeah, it didn't even sound like, you know, Psycho Circus or anything like that.
Yeah,
Returns or something, but
I didn't read
it's
that.
It's a reboot.
It's a reboot of Psycho Circus.
Yeah. Kiss New 52.
They're now all women. Oh, wait. No.
Def Leppard Reborn.
That's right. So, we put a pin in something a few minutes ago.
We sure did put a pin
in. That was Cameo, right?
Cameo.
Spider-Woman number 2.
Yeah.
Cameo.
Or the issue of
Cameo. Second appearance of Spider-Woman in Cameo.
That's right.
How do you have a second appearance in Cameo?
Okay.
It's a
and why would you want one?
So we have this issue, right? I'm sorry, because I'm going to get ranty.
Now we're going to get ranty.
Switch chairs. Yeah.
No, I'm so, going to ranty right with you.
The first appearance of Mary Jane Watson, right? She's in the last panel of the comic.
Yep, one panel.
One panel.
Yep.
She is... basically from the waist up, from the thigh up.
Yeah.
You see her face for the first time,
and
this is considered her first appearance.
Yeah, okay? And she speaks. Yeah,
but all she says is, "Hey, face a tiger, you've hit the jackpot."
Yeah.
Now she's appeared previously, but it was always just the back of her head, or she was mentioned by Mary Jane,
Gwen?
Mrs. Parker.
Mrs. Parker. Oh yeah, yeah.
You're gonna meet somebody's daughter, Aunt May.
Aunt May.
I can't believe I forgot Marissa Tomei's name there for a second. Okay, so
speaking of Marissa Tomei, put a pin in it. Okay, go.
So everybody acknowledges that is the first appearance of Mary Jane Watson. Now we got Hulk 180.
Yeah.
Last panel, Wolverine, full costume.
Full body, yep.
Right? He has a word balloon announcing, "I am Wolverine."
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So we know what his name is.
We know his name. We see him in character. The panel's about the same size.
Yeah.
That's not the first appearance of Wolverine.
It is, but anyway.
What? No, apparently it isn't. Like, what the heck? What is this cameo stuff and non-cameo stuff and in cameo and first full appearance and blah, 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 blah. I hate to tell you this. The very first time the character's named... Or pictured, or the back of her head, the front of her head, the side of his head, just the claw. That's the first appearance. There's no cameo this and poo-poo this and something kumquat this.
Well, it may be an urban legend, but I've heard that it was a misprint by somebody at, what do you call those big thick books that have prices in them?
Oh, well, yeah.
Overstreet.
Overstreet. It totally is because if you take a look at Marvel's official stuff, right? Handbook of Marvel Universe.
Yep.
It says first appearance is 180.
Yeah.
And then they do some other stuff. There's a couple of other places where it says 180. Some book somewhere edited by an assistant editor in the letters page says Incredible Hulk 181 is the first appearance. Now, this was done by an assistant editor in a letters page, and everybody points to that saying, "This is Marvel's official response that 181 is the first appearance of Wolverine. Please ignore the encyclopedia that Marvel published called Marvel Universe that contradicts this, that had multiple editors and multiple proofreaders, but this comment by this assistant editor in a letters page is gold." Gold, Jerry, gold. And I honestly believe the only reason why this nonsense exists with the Hulk 181 controversy and stuff like this is because Overstreet is scared that somebody's going to file a lawsuit and sue their butts for the $7,000 that they paid for Hulk 181 when it is indeed Hulk 180.
Which we then worth $200.
Now, if I was a big Wolverine aficionado, I'd be Hulk 180, 181, 182 as a set.
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
That is the first, like, there's no doubt about it that Hulk 181 has the first full story where he's fleshed out and stuff like this. Yeah. But I don't care.
Yeah.
Well, the second,
like,
you know.
It's like Gambit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
X-Men Annual 14, multiple panels. You know, he's walking around.
Published first.
Published first. He's with Little Storm.
Yeah.
Right? No, that's a cameo. And then 266 is his first appearance.
Now, I don't argue with the fact that the free market should determine which comic is more valuable. That's fine. I have no problem with that. So if collectors say, I would rather have 181 and I'm willing to pay $7,000 for 181 versus 180, that's completely legitimate. That's free market. I no problem with that.
Yeah.
Just don't be slapping no labels that's the first appearance of Wolverine, because it is not.
So back to Dan. What is a second appearance cameo?
It's actually a joke.
Oh.
Because I was on the CGC boards one time talking to a guy about Spider-Woman.
Okay.
And we were, Marvel Spotlight number 30, I believe, or 29, I'm going to be in trouble. One of those two is the first appearance of Spider-Woman.
And is that 32?
You're right, 32, that's right. And then she disappears and then comes back. And so he was like, oh, yeah, and this is the second appearance. And I said, but she was in a panel in the previous issue. And he was like, that's the second appearance in cameo. And so it's become this running joke.
Exactly. Like, you're on the same page that I am. It's ridiculous.
Now, I still collect it.
Now,
it's part of the history.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but I know on the front cover of 32 it said, like, Marvel Premiere or whatever. Marvel Spotlight.
Yeah.
And it had the Spider-Woman logo. But she wasn't called Spider-Woman in the story. Didn't she have a different name, like Arachna or something?
No, I think it said Spider-Woman.
Because I seem to think that I looked up a wiki once, and it said that first appearance as Arachna or something like this, and then afterwards, even though on the cover it says Spider-Woman.
Yeah, yeah.
I just feel like she had a different code name.
Yeah,
because they didn't necessarily want her to be a Spider-Man clone.
Right.
Yeah. This is where I say I haven't read it, Marty. I only own it.
Yeah, that's.
But
that's
actually have read it.
Oh, okay.
I have two copies: one that's slabbed and one that's not.
Oh, the slab man.
He's the slab man.
Where's Kevin for my? I need a little jingle. The slab man.
That's right.
So the Marvel Wiki says. Wiki.
Spire 32.
Please ignore the radio silence as we're all like pounding away here at the interwebs.
Download the picture. First appearance, Jessica Drew.
Marvel Spotlight.
Oh, Jessica
32.
Yeah.
All right, there's been different Spider-Women.
Spider-Women.
Yeah. Which is. I thought she had like a weird name. Like, that was just trivia. I'm not upset that they call it Spider-Woman or anything. That's not an issue for me. I just thought that if I recall correctly, there was something there.
Well, let's go back to my pin then.
Okay,
so
your pin.
The only reason why I have a pin is because Marissa Tomei, Aunt May,
made me think
about the. I read the first three issues of Detective Comics this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Rebirth, they were good. I liked them. It's an interesting team book. Let's put it that way.
How did you get from Marissa Tomei?
I'm getting there.
Okay, sorry.
So in the second issue, they had Dr. Leslie Tompkins, right?
Yes.
Now, in Gotham, well, you know, it takes place in the past, and I can't remember her name because, anyways, she plays Leslie Tompkins, but that's fine because it takes place in the past. But I'm reading Detective, and Leslie Tompkins is in there. And to me, she's an older woman, white-haired doctor.
Yep.
She kind of knows Batman's secret, or does she? She does know his secret.
Yeah.
And she helps him out when he's really wounded. Well, she's in this issue, and she's a brunette, and it's hard to tell her age. But immediately, I'm thinking Marissa Tomei in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So I'm just, like, do we know from previous New 52 Was she reboot? Was she ever appear in New 52 as a younger version? Or?
I don't remember because I didn't read a lot of Detective Comics from the New 52, yeah, so I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they're jigging with her age a little bit.
A little bit, a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, from older, white-haired to, you know, attractive brunette that may or may not be a love interest, who knows,
well, for there Batman. You go.
But,
there you go.
But it was, good... good story, the three-part.
Well, I chose on purpose to get the Batman and Superman as opposed to Detective in Action.
Yeah.
Just because you can't get every comic.
Yeah.
But
you don't have any money.
Then you don't have money. And some people were telling me that maybe I made a mistake and it's actually the Detective and the Action that are better. But I got to tell you, that Superman is, I mean, three issues in, this is amazing. Like, I just love that book.
Yeah. I think I like Superman just a smidge better than Action, but I do like Action. Like Action, it's
so they're pretty good. I read Nightwing Rebirth. I wasn't too terribly impressed with that.
No.
Was it better than Grayson though?
It was just the Rebirth issue, so it was the
wrap
special
up of Grayson.
Okay.
So it wraps up Grayson, introduces the status quo, so that the next Nightwing issue. So we'll take it from there. However, I do have a serious issue. And Tweedle tried to talk me down from the ledge, failed miserably. Green Arrow, one of my favorite new comic books.
What happened?
My favorite Rebirth. Right? The Rebirth issue, the shave, the goatee, the reintroduction of Black Canary, everything's cool. So, to me, Green Arrow should be fighting Injustice and drug smugglers, sex trade, exploiters, corruption, mafia, you know, all that sort of stuff. Like more grounded kind of, like Detective was always Batman as a detective fighting crime. Batman was always against the super villains and a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, I always thought Green Arrow should be more like that, right? And the first few issues were like there's this they found this container on the shipyards, and it's full of sex trade workers that have been kidnapped, and you know they got to figure that out and liberate them, and it, you know, okay, great. Last issue of Green Arrow. Green Arrow is breaking into Queen Industries because he got thrown out, and you know it was like a corporate takeover. He breaks in the window and is immediately surrounded by what looks like satanic versions of the Court of Owls. Everybody's got this weird suit in flames, this mask that's in flames.
Right.
They go to the ex-CEO of the company or CFO that was doing all this backhanded deal that got Oliver Queen kicked out in the first place. He's wearing some kind of a spiritual voodoo mask, and it's part of some sort of a culty thing, and I'm thinking, okay, this is what ruined Grayson. Was they had this kind of supernatural twist to it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, right away they flash to the Black Canary story, and she's going after the sex traffickers.
Right.
So it was like really jarring to see that kind of supernatural element there, the little superhero. Like, I thought he'd be a little bit more realistic, a little bit more gritty.
I'm going to go with Sam and say give it another issue or two.
Well, I am. I'm not going to, like, panic, but I read that, and I was just like, what did they do? I mean, this literally went from a book, in my opinion, that was a 9.9 out of 10 in the first few issues, and I would have given that one a 4.5 tops because it just destroyed me. I was just like, no, why? Why couldn't they just be dressed in suits with holsters?
Yeah.
Why did they have to be this supernatural character superhero cost?
It does sound, you're not going to like this probably, but it does sound like Detective, where there is like a army of guys in gear and they look like Batman. They got spikes on their heads and stuff. They don't have capes, but it's like a whole army that they're fighting now.
Yeah, I just don't know. Right. I mean, I just felt like that one book, that Green Arrow book, would be a little bit more grounded, a little bit more, you know, down to earth, as opposed to, like, you expect the alien invasion to be defeated by the Justice League.
Yeah, or Superman.
Or Superman to fight the cosmic, you know, you just don't expect Plastic Man or Elongated Man to fight, you know, like, the Punisher. You don't expect the Punisher to go up against the Kree.
Yeah.
You know? So I just felt like that Green Arrow was going to be a little bit more grounded, and all of a sudden it's this poor choice of this cult. And that's the other thing. I mean, how many of these, like, we have the Court of Owls, we got the Parliament of Owls, we got this cult that Green Arrow is fighting. Now you're telling me there's some kind of a horny Batman cult in detective that they're going to be...
Not a cult, more like what is army this? Soldiers, but yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I just...
But
it worked once with Court of Owls.
Court of Owls was awesome, don't get me wrong. I thought it was a great story. Did you read that?
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was great.
Yeah, and they're throwing that right into Gotham, too, like, next season, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, so...
So get your first appearances of Court of Owls while you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, what did I read today about that first appearance? It'll come to me,
first
hopefully.
First appearance and
put
cameo?
Put a pin in it.
I put a pin in my brain because there was something... Oh, I can't think of it. Anyways, so back to the detective. What I like is, you know, it's a weird team. Clayface, Batwoman, you know... I'm getting used to, I know of her and her dad and whatever, but I like Tim Drake as Red Robin, Stephanie Brown as Spoiler, and Cassandra Cain as Orphan, she calls herself.
Yeah.
She's not Batgirl.
Because it's more like a Batman family book from the 70s, right? It's more like a team, Batman team book.
He's kind of stepping up saying, okay, these guys, these kids are here. We need to, you know, Batwoman, we need to help train them, kind of, or fine tune them. Let's put it that way. So...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe either they're abandoning that idea where one book was more crime-solving Batman and the other one was more superhero Batman.
Yeah, which is
a bit of a shame. But I guess the All-Star Batman's coming out too.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
There's been some photos. I haven't really looked too much. Hopefully we'll have some stuff from San Diego.
But so far the Batman book itself has been pretty good.
Yeah,
they've got like a new superhero team there called Gotham and Gotham Girl. I love the fact that they called her Gotham Girl. That's awesome. That's just such a throwback.
Yeah.
And apparently they're like superheroes, but nobody would say where they got their powers. And so that'll be interesting as it unveils itself and reveals itself.
Well, there's an article here from 2 hours ago that says there will officially be no more X-Men in the Marvel Comics. Don't know what that means.
Well, that's because they're dying, right?
Well, officially. Anyways. We'll look into that more.
Yeah, because like you said, there's going to be all sorts of reveals from San Diego like crazy over the next few days.
And there was one, and I was trying to think of it, and I can't think of it.
Wonder Woman and Bionic Woman teaming up.
Yeah.
The 77 Wonder Woman. You know how DC produces that Wonder Woman 77 web series that they then collect into volumes?
Yeah.
It's going to be the Bionic Woman versus Wonder Woman 77. And I got to tell you, as a kid of the 70s...
Yeah.
Oh, that's a team up that is a little overdue.
Yeah.
It's a little overdue.
Well, not quite as exciting as that team up, but I did see that, we had the Batman Ninja Turtles series, which I liked. I liked that a lot.
That was pretty good.
So apparently they're doing a Batman Adventures team up with the Turtles Adventures. So the
more
newer,
the cartoon series?
Younger, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, so that's coming out as well. That's something I did see out of San Diego. There was the trailer for the new season of Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Which they also released.
Featuring a new character, I saw.
Featuring, well, a new character to the show, but quite familiar to us in the comic books.
Yeah.
With a certain large cat beside him.
I'm going to have to say that I have a confession to make. I didn't buy the last two. I've been reading Walking Dead by trade.
Yeah.
Because of a very regretful decision I made a little while ago. I don't know if I ever told anybody about that.
Yep.
I grabbed three books. It was Invincible, Walking Dead, and Fables. And I liked all three of them really a lot. And I figured I'd go back and get the back issues of one of the three. I chose Fables.
Yeah.
The one that ABC ripped off when they did Once Upon a Time. So nobody got any big money off of that. So
I passed up. I've never read Fables.
Yeah, I passed up the opportunity to buy Walking Dead one through five, I think, for $20, and then from then on, every back issue. Right. Same thing with Invincible. But anyways, I did not pick up the last two Walking Dead trade paperbacks, and I kind of don't miss them. I don't know what it is about it, but
there does seem to be a lull building up. To the next war, apparently, although the last issue, who knows?
Like, it just seems like it's the same. I don't know. I guess with a superhero book, you figure Batman's going to go out, he's going to punch somebody, and then he's going to get chastised by Alfred, and you know that's how it goes.
Yeah.
But The Walking Dead, it's almost like you were I'm expecting a narrative, and it just seems like, oh, great, Rick has a beard now.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, Rick has a beard?
And,
sweet.
And who's this guy? I have no idea who this person is.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, well, that guy's been in since issue one. I'm like, I don't recognize that person at all.
You obviously didn't get The Walking Dead A to Z or whatever. Remember you're talking about that one time, Chris?
Yeah, I'm missing issue four for some reason. I have no idea.
Why don't they wear superhero costumes so I can tell the difference?
Now, I do okay, so I haven't read a lot of Walking Dead issues. I've collected for probably almost about 2 years now, but I've just been collecting them.
Yeah.
And then I just went back and started reading through them, and there isn't much that happens in each issue.
No.
You need to read five in a row in order to feel like you're satisfied
That's how I used to read them with the trade paperback, right? Like, you'd read the whole book in one sitting, and it'd be like a narrative, and then the only problem is then you'd have to wait 6 months for the next one, you know? And I'd forget who is who, and Charlie, his art style is, serviceable, and it looks great in the book and stuff, but it's not like it's really distinctive. You have a hard time telling the difference between Glenn and Maggie sometimes. I mean, I just...
not anymore.
Not Glenn, no. If you're having trouble distinguishing between Glenn and Maggie, you're reading something wrong.
But I read, I think I recently sold it to Dylan's mom, the first 24 trade paperbacks. And that's kind of where I stopped. So I don't know what trade paperback they're up to now, but I haven't
either
read it.
Either 26 or 27.
And I feel kind of guilty because you guys keep talking about how amazing it is. And I was like, I don't like this.
Well, there was a big sort of shocking moment that Walking Dead is known for in the past issue.
Yeah.
That was caught off guard by.
And how is it that they managed to time those shocking issues at the end of every darn trade paperback? It's almost it's planned.
Well, that's why the last five. That's why the last five issues felt like it was filler.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it is filler. They're spreading a story out, and even I was reading issue 144, I think, because it's about the Whisperers. Were you aware of the Whisperers at all?
Yeah. So the ones that are wearing the skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to that point.
This was one of the issues with the Whisperers, where their main leader is warning Rick off. And they killed off 25 characters.
Yeah, I remember that. That was the last page of the second last trade I read.
And
everybody's heads are on spike.
Yeah,
I read that.
And then so in the actual comic book, the they have the letters page, and the letters page starts with, "That'd be a great place to end the next omnibus." So somebody has to wait 4 years to see what happens.
I have to admit, I didn't recognize anybody on those spikes except one.
Well, there's definitely one major. I mean, I think of her as a major character.
Yeah.
But they also, when they did that, though, they referenced underneath people. Like, they give you a little bit.
Exactly.
Hey, where's Joe?
Yeah, where's my mom? I haven't seen her in a while.
I'm like, I don't know which one's Joe. I hate to say this. I just don't.
If I'm being completely honest with you guys, I have only read about maybe 10 issues before this, and I didn't know most of those people. And I was like, well, people probably know them more than me, but you're saying that you don't.
No. And that wasn't really the point, right? It's just
that they're actual
average,
people.
It's absolutely not the point to read a book and know who everybody is in the book.
No,
you're right.
The choices on the spike,
the people that they killed.
It's just they need to show average, ordinary people that the Whisperers picked out of the crowd and spiked. To me, Rosita, right? She's...
I don't even know who that is.
That's... I'm getting the name right. Rosita? The one that showed up with Abraham and...
Come on! I'm telling you, I had a serious problem with this
comic. My
brain
is running
on empty. I couldn't remember
which spike was she on.
And I'm sure it's because I was reading them with this big 6 month break in between.
Yeah,
there was this continuity issue. I'm having a hard time. I'm loving the fact that DC comes out with comic books every 2 weeks.
Eugene, she showed up with Eugene and Abraham. They were three on the cover.
Mullet?
No, the girl Rosita. She was with Abraham and
Eugene had a mullet.
Yeah, Eugene has the mullet, but never mind.
But there's a bigger death than that.
There was, who was it? Hit me.
Ezekiel?
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah. He was on there too.
That was a shocking one.
No.
Who's Zeus? The guy with the lion. Didn't they call him Zeus?
That's no, Ezekiel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The book made me feel stupid.
We have to wait till October until we find out who...
In the TV show.
Broke, beat up, so...
I did see a neat little thing there. What's the actor's name that plays Negan?
I don't know.
Morgan.
Oh, and, Christine loves him.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I've seen him in, like, The Losers. He was awesome in that.
Yeah.
He was awesome. So I think he's an awesome actor.
Yeah.
But apparently, his agent said, they want you to play a character in Walking Dead, but they won't tell me who the character is because of, you know, the spoilers and stuff. But he's a really bad guy, and I don't know if you want to do this. He goes, it's Negan. It's bleeping Negan. Yeah. I'm doing it. It's Negan. I'm doing it. And, it's like, all right. So he reads the book. He's excited.
Yeah.
So he was excited about the part.
Well, I mean, he was a comedian in The Watchmen, right? And that guy is messed up.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Great actor. We'll see who he messes up on the show.
There you go.
That's right.
In a little bit. I guess that's all the time that we've got for this week. So we will...
it's time to get out of the hot box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll let somebody else into the rant chair.
Yeah.
So tune in next week for more Hey Kids Comics.